Sorry.
This table's not good for this meeting.
No. Welcome to the City of Ocean City Regular Zoning Board, July 23rd, 2025. This meeting has been advertised pursuant to PL Chapter 231, also known as the Open Public Meetings Act. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you have any electronic devices, please turn them off or silence them now. Roll call. Mr. Becker?
Here.
Mr. Buck?
Here.
Mr. DeMarco?
Here.
Mr. Gallagher?
Here.
Mr. Geary?
Here.
Mr. Logue?
Here.
Mr. Price?
Here.
Mrs. Snyder?
Here.
Mr. Waddell?
Here.
Under Secretary's reports, may I have a motion to adopt the June 18th, 25 minutes?
Buck.
Second?
Waddell.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? May I have a motion to adopt resolution ZBA 25-003, Zamoritano?
Buck.
Second?
Waddell.
Roll call. Mr. Waddell?
Yep.
Mr. Price?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
May I have a motion to adopt resolution ZBA 25-005, Drury?
Buck.
Second?
Waddell.
Roll call. Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
May I have resolution ZBA 25-001, Folk. There is a revision. It should be Richard Waddell, Vice Chair, signing. That's the only revision.
My apologies.
May I have a motion?
Buck.
Second?
Waddell.
Roll call. Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
Mr. Price?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
I turn the meeting over to the Chair, Mr. Buck.
Thank you, Mr. Keitler, ZBA 2508. Microphones are killing me.
Mm-hmm.
Microphones are killing me. Why do I have it on a short one? There you go. Now I can pick both of us up. Sorry. Go on.
For the record, Avery Tyler here on behalf of the applicant. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. As you mentioned, this is the application of William and David Capers and Gerald and Janice DeMarco. They're the owners of 1602 West Avenue, which is known as Lot 3, Lot 605. The property was a condominium allowing the quarter lot measuring 40 feet by 100 feet located in the R130 zone. The applicant here tonight is seeking use variance for being to construct a new two-family dwelling on the property. The previous dwelling was destroyed by fire in October of last year. The use variance is required because two-family dwellings are not permitted in the R130 zone. As the board is familiar, the standard for determining whether use variance is appropriate for the use of service general welfare because the site is particularly suited for the proposed use, which is a positive criteria. Whether the variance be granted without substantial detriment to the public good, without substantial impairing intent for the zoning plan and zoning ordinance, which is the negative criteria. As the testimony and evidence will show, the majority of the homes on the block and surrounding neighborhood contain two family dwellings. In addition, this property has had a two-bedroom condominium dwelling on it since approximately 1986 when it was built. As a result, the property is particularly suited for the proposed use in light of the fact that it's contained a two family dwelling for almost 30 years. The proposed building will be well below the maximum standard on every bulk criteria. It'll provide 10 total parking spaces and provide a significant aesthetic improvement to the neighborhood. Regarding the negative criteria, the application presents no significant detriment and does benefit the public good, as the testimony notes will indicate. Granting variances will not substantially impair the intended purpose of the zoning plan and zoning ordinance as a result of the surrounding neighborhood and the long-term usage of the property. The applicants intend on calling one witness tonight, that is the project architect, Andrew Beckel.
Beckel, please raise your hand. Thank you. And Mr. Maffei, raise your right hand. You both swear to affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
And Mr. Beckel, just your name and your affiliation. The record is going to here in front of us. The board, the chairman has recognized you enough times next. So just your name and affiliation.
Andrew Beckel, Tom Beckel, architect, thank you.
I'm going to have to back close to the microphone. Bechtel, can you provide the board with an overview of the situation at the property and the current application?
Yes. The property obviously caught fire, was damaged beyond repair, and was going down. At that time, the insurance company contacted us to see if they could get it rebuilt. And we worked with the clients to try to rebuild pretty much what was exactly there in the same
This fire was in October of 2024, so last fall.
Yes.
All right. Let's discuss the variances we need tonight. Obviously, used, correct?
Yes.
It was a two-family dwelling at the time of the fire?
Yes, it was.
That's condominium form of ownership of two separate homes, correct?
Yes, and this is a side-by-side, not the standard top and bottom that you've normally seen. It's a side-by-side, and we're proposing a side-by-side.
Okay. And obviously, this is in a residential zone, but it's kind of a unique residential zone because behind it is CVS.
Yes, CVS, the car wash, some other commercial properties.
A majority of the properties on this side of West Avenue directly adjacent to this property are two-family dwellings,
yes, correct? A majority of the northern half of the block, of this block, are two-family homes. In fact, there's a somewhat carbon copy right next door of what this building was.
And it's your understanding that this property has contained a duplex condominium since 1986 approximately?
That is correct, yes.
Therefore, would it be your testimony as a professional planner that this property is particularly suited for the use that's proposed, especially in light of the fact that this duplex has existed for almost 4 years and the neighborhood stats?
In light of the stats and the longevity of the use, yes.
All right. The other variances we're here for tonight are total side yard setback. Both individual sides comply. It's just the 1 foot total side yard setback, correct?
That is correct. Each side hold is 5 feet or 10 foot total on side yard setback for 11 inches.
And also building coverage?
Correct. Building coverage, again, you'd have to have design incentives, which means wraparound porches and other things. Again, you're trying to copy exactly what was originally there, with the exception of three separate stair towers.
So this is largely a result of keeping the building similar to what was there before the fire, correct?
Correct.
All right. Let's discuss the bulk criteria that are below the maximum. The front yard setback is more than 4 feet greater than what it could be?
Yes, our front yard setback is 14 feet to change.
All right. The rear yard setback is more than 10 feet greater than it could be?
Correct, yes.
Floor area ratio is 9% lower than max?
Yes.
Building height, 6.5 lower than max?
That is correct.
Pervious coverage zone, 11% lower?
Yes.
All right. And we're providing 10 parking spaces on site?
Yes.
All right, so that there's 5 would be what we would be required for doubling that up?
Yes, even according to Mr. Fay's report, it's 2.6 stories that are allowed. We're only 2 stories, so we're a full half a story less than what we could be as well.
Pointing that out. All right, respectfully, your professional opinion is the positive criteria satisfied to these variants to be granted.
Well, I need clarification on that for a second.
Yes.
2.6 would be allowed in a single family zone?
Yes.
How many would be allowed in the duplex?
In a duplex zone, technically, it would be only 2, sir.
Thank you.
You testified that the positive criteria satisfies the use variance we've granted, is that correct?
Yes.
Are the properties particularly suited for this use?
Yes, again, a majority of the homes on this northern side of the block, or on this side of the block, on the north side, are duplex homes.
And this has been a duplex style condominium for 40 plus years, or close to 4 years, I should say.
That is correct. And again, the nature in which the building was destroyed, it wasn't a contractor, it wasn't somebody who some phrase with an addition is burned to the ground.
All right, and also regarding the positive criteria, our both standards are well below the maximum, correct?
Well below, yes.
All right, you just testified to those full criteria.
Yes.
All right, in light of the stats and the fact that an almost identical two-family dwelling was on this spot for almost 40 years, will there be substantial detriment to the public good if the board sees for the application?
I do not see any substantial detriment.
Any substantial impairment to the intent and purpose of the zoning plan and zoning ordinance in light of the stats and in light of the building being there for 4 years?
No, I do not see any detriment to the zoning plan.
Those are all the questions I have for Mr. Bechtel, the applicant, rest of the room.
Thank you. Mr. Maffei, please.
And the chair for the board of day, May 21st, 2025. Indicated we're seeking approval to construct a new 2,000 structure, ground new lot of vacant, and update the dates of the previous 2,000 structure was for the fire. A D1 use variance is required. This is the R1 30 zone, which does not permit two-family dwellings. variances for minimum physical side yard setback and maximum building coverage also required. Number three is regards to the total stories. Again, for this zone, it is 2.6, and it is 6 in the total stories. The proposed roof pitch appears to be 712. That just should be confirmed, and we can then provide them with the final plan. Number five, plan shall be updated to reflect the current ongoing construction on West Avenue. There is a new sidewalk, ADA ramps, concrete gutter, and concrete curb already in place. The concrete sidewalk along 16th Street is damaged and should be replaced. Proposed width of the driveway in the alley is 38 feet. The actual pit is 36, so the design waiver is required. Four street trees are required, two are proposed, and the waiver would be required for the additional two plus the contribution. Therefore, support carrying from inspection escrow for all the public improvements. Note that West Avenue will be on a 5-year moratorium after the street is paved. There's a plan revision for the board seems fit and copy of any outside agency approval. That's it, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. At this point, I'm going to open up the board for questions. Mr. Becker.
Do we need to have those fires started?
I was told it started from an air conditioning condenser on the northernmost unit, and it was electrical from the air conditioner condenser and spread from that unit over. The owners of the northern unit are here tonight, sitting to my right.
Ms. Schneider?
Hello? No questions.
Adele? Mr. Geary?
One question. I know there's a couple other side-by-sides in that block. If you went first and second floor in the duplex, would you be able to eliminate the side yard or building coverage?
If we were to build a brand-new duplex there and do it as per how Ocean City has done it, how we typically do it, top-bottom, yes, they could be eliminated. But the issue is you got a side-by-side, so who gets the top, who gets the bottom? You know, it's the northerly neighborhood. I don't think they were in that position after their home was destroyed to try to negotiate.
No, I just...
But yes, could a two-family to eliminate the width happen? Yes, we thought it was best to redesign what was originally there and provide more parking by the
meeting. Gotcha. Mark, one question for you.
Yeah.
Has there ever been like a case law or something where an issue like this happened and somebody said no and then...
And answer the question, I don't know off the top of my head that there's been a denial, okay? Maybe, but, you know, we got a city where that can be a problem only because there's so many areas, commercial areas, where you got residential.
Exactly.
And I'm looking at this neighborhood, and I think this was another neighborhood of a rush in 86 to build duplexes.
Okay.
The year it was built before it got zoned single family.
Understand.
It was a duplex zone. They were going to change it to a single family zone, and developers, that's why this was built, probably built in 86. Okay? But to answer your question, I don't know what happens when you got the duplex owner for a property and then
single,
and you can only build a single, you know, by a denial. But so maybe Avery knows of one, but I don't know off the top of my head.
It's a very, very tricky situation.
I would imagine. Yeah.
That Mark said, but it's, you know, you got these people that bought into a condominium dwelling, didn't know any better. Andrew and I talked about it. There is a mechanism called a certificate of nonconformity that you can get, but it's so tricky to get that. You'd have to get that 1 year from when the zone changed, which I don't even think it was around in 86, Mark, maybe you'd be able to tell.
Certificate of nonconformities came in 1978-9 for the land use law that became effective in 1980 in actuality.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was a mechanism. I've never done one personally, nor have I ever seen one done.
No, I was just asking.
I think it's like 10 days to get it through the zoning office. After that, you have to apply to the board, which we have seen a couple. And there was a case, and I'm not sure if it was yours, Anderson. There was a fire, and it got denied. I don't know if it was a D variance, though.
That was Dottie's.
Was it Dottie's? Yeah. Do you remember that one, Mark? I think his name was Anderson, the last name.
Yeah, it was a
name.
Single. That was for other reasons.
Tom's house.
I think it was Tom's, yeah.
Yeah, and it caught fire, and then it got denied.
Yeah, but it eventually got built. Something.
I mean, I don't know what happened, but I don't think it needed a D, though.
No, you know what? I did Tom's fire, and that got approved.
No, all right, then it wasn't Anderson. It was somebody...
But in terms of litigation, it's not just this town, but it's, you know, these condominium scenarios where they own an undivided one-half share, so to speak. Well, on these condos, this is probably an AB condo, side by side. They own to the midpoint.
Side by side, and as Andrew pointed out, you couldn't go back to an up-down when both sides say, well, who gets the up and who gets the down.
The master plan calls for who has which side.
Okay.
Good question.
No more questions, sorry.
Did you look at splitting it the other way?
No, again, they wanted to go back to what they had originally because that's what they knew. I mean, our client actually had already ordered windows. She was replacing the windows on the house before it was burning, and luckily she was able to cancel the order. She was looking to start fixing it up, and this happened. So I don't think they want to change sides, front, back, who's on the alley, who's, you know, they're both on west.
You would agree that, when did you start with Terry's office?
Excuse me?
When did you start with Terry's office?
How long have you been with Terry?
I've been with Terry since 97, 98.
You would agree this is backward facing.
There's a lot of things unique to this lot, but again, I was not in a position to start changing things.
I'm just saying.
But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. I have nothing else. At this point, I'll close it to the board, open to the public. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. Totally, my fault. Mr. Gallagher, any questions?
Good, thank you.
Mr. Price?
So, just to be clear, this is seven owners?
Yes.
Side. You said that the building is pretty much the same footprint and size. Can you give us the similarities and differences?
Yes.
Especially because, you know, typically we have a chart that explains every single thing, every single setback, every single height. We don't have that because, well, our chart doesn't show the previous building that burned down.
Six.
It shows it as
vacant.
As a vacant lot.
Got it.
So we don't really know that this is the exact building other than we have the old survey on the front page, but
So to your point, Ryan, there was a stair in the middle of the building in the very front. I mean, you could actually see what it was before because of the building that's right next to it. But there was a stair in the front right in the middle of the two porches. That stair was how they accessed the front of the home. And then there was a stair off the back side of the property that was off of like a pseudo bedroom that you went through to get in. So we cleaned that up a little bit. So we have a side entrance stair. And we have a front entrance stair. So they still maintain the two stairs that they originally had, but they've been simply moved down. That's the major change. And then the other change was we brought the floor up higher so that we could get parking underneath the building. That building wasn't tall, didn't have a tall enough crawl underneath it to park cars under. So we raised the building a little higher so we could get parking underneath it. Because it's such a low elevation, we just raised it up a little higher to get parking underneath it. That's how we're going to accommodate the 10 parking spaces, as opposed to the other parking space that we're originally there.
It's still pretty low. Height.
Yeah. But again, the floor to ceiling height is the same. Basically.
No, I mean 23.46 versus 30.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. What was it before? It's still low. How low was it before?
So it's approximately 4 feet taller than it was before.
How far?
Four feet.
And then there's no height in the elevation. So what are we looking at for garage floor, first floor, second floor?
Oh, it's on ZB2, sir.
Taller.
We're basically 8'10" to the first floor from grade. We're an 8'8". I mean, they're not 9-foot ceilings anywhere. They're exactly what they had before as far as height is concerned. The only thing that got raised was the garage. Well, was the crawl space that now became a garage. I mean, you even tried to keep the windows as similar as possible.
Insurance have something to do with that?
Excuse me. Yeah, the insurance, yes. I'm sure
they're going to pay for what?
Yeah. And we're trying to replace it in kind.
Okay.
All right. Lastly, the side yard setbacks. So it's your 12 inches off. Is 6 inches per unit? Really? Is that?
It's already incredibly tight. It's a 30-foot wide side-by-side duplex. Right. Less than 15 feet wide. I couldn't make it any smaller.
That's all I have.
No, he kind of just touched on it. The footprint besides the stairwell, it's basically the same as it was.
Yes, sir.
That's the only question.
What's your... I apologize if it's on here and I can't find it because I'm stupid. Is it? What's your setback to the steps?
Front steps? Front steps is it's at the bottom of the
foot and a half.
It's 11 inches, 11 1/4 inches. It's allowed to be 6 inches.
No, I'm sorry. I found it. You're 1.5 feet to the side yard setback of the step.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Awesome. Anybody else have anything? I'm going to open it to the public at this point. Anyone here wish to speak in this application?
You got
anybody there? I'll close it. Summary.
It's been a duplex for 40 years, close to it. If you walk down or drive down the alley there, you'll see it's all duplexes. 7-8 houses there. It backs up to CVS. The house that Andy designed, it's got a larger front yard setback. The rear yard setback's 10 feet greater. The floor area ratio is 9%, less than what it could be. The building height's 5.5 feet less than what it could be. You got a lot of extra parking spaces. Your impervious coverage is under by 10%. So, I mean, it really is not a maxed out duplex, just trying to be as close as they could to what they had. It's a very unfortunate situation. It actually is a real crappy situation for these people because they're in this condominium. It's not conforming. Going back to our meeting last month, which you guys were at, one of those buildings running down, they had the same issue. One of those buildings from last month on the 5100 block, even something happens to them, it'd be in the same situation. So it's just really unfortunate and something that we have to deal with in Ocean City. Fortunately, it's very rare. For all those reasons, I think the board has enough evidence to approve the application.
Sign if you would.
Okay, yes, this is the application of the Marzio and Caper for a D variance with 1, 2, 3 C variances. I mean bulk variances. The D variances is a result of the applicant proposing to reconstruct a duplex on a single family zone. The applicant is proposing to basically, with entries accepted, build the same building that they previously had. The applicant indicated side-by-side condo, which had burned down. Majority of the half block or duplex for that reason. this is particularly suited. The applicant indicated under the CE two criteria for the two variances being requested that a number of the other setbacks are in fact better. The applicant cited the front yard setback of 14.2 versus 10, the rear yard setback of 35.60 versus 20, and 10 for double the amount of parking spaces. Offsetting the 1 foot total side yard setback variance being requested and the increase in the building coverage. The applicant indicated that the variance could be granted without substantial detriment in light of the fact that the majority of the block or half block is in fact duplex, that there existed a duplex for 40 years, so anybody driving by seeing the same building that was previously there would not take particularly notice, particularly in light of the immediately adjacent property is a, I want to say duplicate, but yes, in essence, a twin. For those reasons, the applicant, now standard conditions would apply, in addition to the conditions that Mr. Maffei cited, which there are a number and which is going to require plan revisions if it's granted. Without going into each and every one of them, Mr. Maffei just
need a motion. Include the condensing unit on the site plan, please.
Hold on. Is that one of his, or should I?
It is not.
Okay.
Hold on. Please add it.
No problem. Condensing. Before I forget. Unit on plan and revised plan. Since you haven't asked for anything, it's going to have to conform. Okay. Okay, we need to have a motion.
Buck.
What?
That's in it. Do
piece?
I'm going to ask him right now. Do you want to split them? Or do you want to vote as
No, it has to be part and part. It has to be together.
Well, it wouldn't have to be. You could get a D variance.
You can get a D variance for a building conforming duplex.
I'm just asking if you want to split them. If you don't, it's fine. Due diligence. I just want to give you the option. It's totally, totally up to you.
All right, split.
Okay. Why don't we? Okay, so the you're thinking reverse, but in any event,
take the D duplex.
We can have a roll call.
Do we have a motion?
Motion Buck for D variance.
Second.
For D
Waddell, yes.
Yes. Use variance.
The proposal is split.
Yeah, we're splitting them.
He's amending his motion to go for just the D variance.
Got it.
So roll call, Mr. Waddell.
Yes.
Mr. Price.
Yes.
Mr. Geary.
Yes.
Mr. Logue.
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco.
Yes.
Mr. Becker.
Yes.
Mr. Buck.
Yes.
Okay, do we have a motion for the C for the two C variants?
Motion Buck.
Waddell.
Roll call, Mr. Waddell.
Yes.
Mr. Price.
Yes.
Mr. Geary.
Yes.
Mr. Logue.
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco.
Yes.
Mr. Becker.
Yes.
Mr. Buck.
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
7061. Correctly, you know, think about it.
That'd be on my toes. Sure.
Yeah, no, but think about it. So yeah, that was a.
Well, like you said, Mark, I was thinking the other way.
Yes, yes, it's usually the other way.
I don't want standing up here, man. You guys are a little bit after this. 6 minds.
Okay. Yeah.
Sharp minds over here.
Okay. That was a good offer. It really was.
I thought so.
You're actually
it conflicted doing me more than it conflicted you.
I'm certain of that.
ZBA 25009. You're just going to hold your seats, I guess.
Next summer. Maybe.
What?
Pick out your grapefruit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Avery Pledger here on behalf of the applicant. The application of 325 West Avenue LLC, that entity is the owner of 325 West Avenue, which is known as Lot 9, Lot 308. Property's interior lot measured 30 feet by 9 feet, located in the applicant's here tonight seeking use variance to construct a new single-family residential dwelling that will conform to all standards in the zone. Use variance required because of the residential use are permitted in the NU zone. They must be located above a commercial first floor. However, as the board is aware, up to residential dwellings are permitted above certain commercial units in this zone. The standard for determining whether the use variance is appropriate is whether the use would serve the general welfare because the site is particularly suited for those uses, positive criteria, and whether the variance can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good without substantially impairing consent for the general land zoning ordinance, which is the negative criteria. As its testimony and evidence will show, the majority of the blocks on the east side of West Avenue consist of primarily residential dwellings. If approved, the resulting single-family dwelling will be conforming to the residential nature of the block. The approval building will provide significant study of the neighborhood for the general welfare by providing a new single-family dwelling. Right, a level of uniformity as a result of problems particularly suited to those using grant variance to serve the general welfare. Regarding the negative criteria, the applicants have showed that the many benefits that I just described would indicate. Grant variance is not fair to intent for the zoning plan and zoning ordinance in light of the fact that residential uses are permitted in this zone and presently exist on most of the block. The applicant intends on calling one witness tonight, that is project, architect, and planner, and the level.
Spector, you're still under oath.
Thank you.
Spector, can you provide a good overview of the application?
Yes, the lot is a 30 by 90 property in the NB zone and currently has a single family on it now. We are planning on replacing it with a new single family That is fully elevated.
Let's discuss the variance. We need use variance, that's correct?
Yes.
That's the only variance request required for dual application?
Yes.
All right. And residential uses are permitted in the end use zone, however, they need to be above the commercial use, is that correct?
That is correct.
And on certain lots in certain areas, you could have two residential units above a commercial space?
Yes.
All right. Let's discuss the surrounding block statistics. There are other two family residential dwellings on the east side of this block, is that correct?
There are 16 lots on this block, almost half of the block. Six of them are duplex, six of them are single, and four of them are either mixed use or commercial.
So this
and one of those four technically was approved by this board to be rebuilt as a single, but hasn't been.
So you would consider this primarily a residential block?
Yes, 75% residential.
Okay, and across the street, it's almost 100% residential?
Yes.
That's the local Wawa site that became duplexes?
Yes.
All right, and behind our site on 300 block basketball, that's all duplexes?
Yes.
All right. So therefore, be your testimony from a professional planning standpoint that this property particularly suited for the uses proposed?
Yes.
All right. Briefly discuss why commercial use is not practical there with flood elevation in this property.
Yes. As you can see on Mr. Colbert's survey, this is a very, very low section of town here in the threes and the fours here from sea level. Base flood here is 9, which, and technically speaking, your first floor should be about a foot above that for the commercial use. So you're up 10, you're at plus 10, which is approximately 6 to 7 feet above grade with your first floor of your commercial unit. As far as I know, the only new commercial unit that's ever been built on a lot like this before in this area has been the TNT flooring building. And that's the only one I know of record. And that's still not high enough. They would need to have flood panels that are 6 feet tall. It doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense here considering also all the residential that's around us as well.
Will the construction of single-family dwelling preserve the present character of the neighborhood in light of the statistics that you just gave?
Yes, again, it'll be harmonious with the other heights that are in the block. All the newer buildings that are there have approximately this kind of height. Again, we haven't maxed out the height at all. In fact, we're just shy of 2 feet under what would be used for residential. The bulk chart needs to be revised because in the NT zone, you can be actually 33 feet from the zone flood elevation. So in residential, it'll have to be 30 feet. So that would be revised on a bulk chart.
So what we're proposing would be a benefit to the public good and light, you just testified.
Sure. It's a less intense use as well. I mean, you're not going to have the commercial coming to go into it. I mean, right now there's the one bar class, I think, and then at the very end of the block, you have the new framing studio. But really, it's the next block north where it gets a little bit more commercialized, where you have a little bit more coming to go.
In your professional opinion, is the positive criteria satisfied that these variants were granted?
Yes.
All right. We're preserving the character of the neighborhood, correct?
Yes, it's an existing single, by the way, and we're replacing the single.
And the bulk standards, you mentioned this, let's touch on those. The bulk standards for what we are proposing are well below the maximum for almost all of the bulk criteria, that'd be correct?
Yes, we're reducing even the building coverage and significantly reducing the impervious coverage, which is currently 100%. Now we're dropping it down to just under 68%.
And it could be 90%.
Yes.
And the building coverage could be 75% of the fully conforming mixed-use building, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. And parking space, we're providing an extra parking space for that?
Yes. Yes, we are.
All right. Can you see a substantial detriment to the public who are granting the application?
No. Other buildings like this on this half block have been approved by this board before, particularly for those circumstances.
So will there be, in light of the statistics and the testimony you just gave, will there be substantial detriment to the intent purpose of the zoning plan and zoning ordinance?
No.
And this is in light of the fact that residential uses are permitted in this zone and presently exist like your testimony of 75% of the block, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Those are all the questions I have, Mr. President.
Thank you. Mr. Maffei, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Our report is dated June 5th, 2025. As indicated, you're seeking approval to extend the existing residential structure and construct a new 1,000 structure. Residential units are conditional use subject to certain conditions. And the only condition that does meet is it's got to be a time of use on the base floor. Therefore, the D1 variance is required. As far as existing nonconformities, you've got the front yard setback, side yard setback, impervious coverage, and no gutters. All of those will be eliminated with the new application. One street tree is required and one proposed, which is on the current list. The existing curb and sidewalk along West Avenue are proposed. West Avenue is under a moratorium until November of 29. So the curb detail needs advised, making sure the curb is face form, so there's no pavement disturbed. Road flat roof deck is less than 20 square feet, and less than 20% of the area, maximum 14 inches above the front of the roof, in conformance with the ordinance. Of course, inspection escrow and guarantee for all the public improvements, copies of any asset agency approvals, and any plan revisions to the board seats. That's it, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. McVeigh. I'll open it to the board. Mr. DeMarco?
No questions.
Mr. Price?
No questions.
Mr. Gallagher?
No questions.
Mr. Geary?
No questions.
Mr. Waddell?
Yeah, one question. This is commercial. Would it have to be handicapped accessible for commercial? And would the ramp probably take up the whole lot?
Yes.
So technically, it really isn't a commercial lot.
It's very difficult, from my understanding, to put commercial there because of the testimony Mr. Bechtel gave regarding the elevations. And you're correct, Mr. Waddell, regarding the run of the handicap ramp, what it would have to be.
Okay, that's all. Thanks.
So, Lowe's?
Question for Specter. I believe the other variances we approved for this block in the past, you designed those as well, correct?
Yes. We've had duplexes approved by this board and then more recently single families.
And your opinion, this is similar in terms of density, square footage, everything?
Yes. It's very similar, yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
No.
I don't have any questions. At this point, I will open it up to the public. Is anybody here wish to speak on this application? Seeing none, I'll close it. Summary?
No summary.
Not kind of night, either. Mr. Stein,
can you do us that same favor?
Yes. It's an application to put a single family in a commercial zone where the applicant provided testimony could not be successfully completed. Therefore, in addition, it is particularly suited in that the neighborhood is residential in nature. For those reasons, the applicant believes they established the criteria for granting the D variance. It will not be a detriment in light of the fact that neighborhood is simpler. And conditions are normal, are the standard plus Mr. McVeigh's.
And so, revisions are required. It's not in Joe's report. The full chart.
The revision is the what?
The zoning chart. Andrew brought it up about what's permitted versus proposed. It's not in, I don't think it's in Joe's report. So revisions will be required.
I got it.
Thank you. Second?
Waddell.
Roll call. Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
Mr. Price?
Yes. Typically, I'm all about preserving commercial due to the size of this property and flood elevation. Because it will make sense. So, yes.
Mr. Geary?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Buck?
Yes.
Thank you.
Everybody's here for this.
I'm not even close. You want to look at it?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It's different.
What do you say? ZBA 25007.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm the board for the record. David Titan here on behalf of the applicants. The application of David and Michelle Bile, the owners of Moyon Gardens Road, Lot 6 and Lot 7. The property is an unusual diamond-shaped lot located in the Garden R1 neighborhood zone. It contains an older two-family dwelling. The applicant here tonight seeks approval to construct a new single-family dwelling on the property. Two bulk variances required for the proposed development will result from the fact that the lot is irregular and undersized. All the neighboring properties are fully developed, preventing the applicant from obtaining land from any adjoining neighbor. The proposed variance will be the front yard setback, second and third floor decks. The house itself complies, and the building height for the roof peak and also the proposed cupola. The requested variance is to be granted under the C1 standard as the property is an existing undersized and regularly shaped lot, which results in an undue hardship upon the applicants. The requested bulk variance can also be granted under the C2 standard, and that's the purpose of zoning to achieve as a result of the property, including securing the property from flooding, eliminating 9 existing nonconformities on the property, including the nonconforming 2-family use, increasing the parking from 0 parking spaces to 5 parking spaces, making the property safer and promoting much more desirable business environment. Final dwelling will provide a new structure that will be consistent with other properties that are being redeveloped in the area. Positive aspects of this application outweigh negative aspects. As a result of testimony and evidence, there is no substantial detriment to the public good, and the application will not substantially impair the intent or purpose of the tenant plan or the ordinance. The applicants intend on calling one witness tonight. That's the project architect, planner, and director.
Spectral, you're still under arrest.
Spectral, can you provide the board an overview of the application, please?
Yes. There's an existing 2-family dwelling currently existing on that site. It's an irregular shaped site. The 2-family dwelling consists of 5 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, a large porch, and multiple nonconformities on the lot. We propose to remove the existing 2-family and build a new single family in its place, conforming with pretty much all the metrics with the exception of the front yard to the deck, and again, height.
This is going to be the primary residence for the applicant, so I understand?
Yes.
All right. And you mentioned, and I mentioned, it's a very unusually shaped lot. It's almost shaped like a diamond.
Yes.
All right. We are severely deficient for lot frontage and lot area.
Yes, we are.
It's a lot area that takes less than half of what the prescribed lot area should be for the zone.
Yes, and again, there's a 2-family on it currently, and we're planning on putting a 1-family on it.
The other nonconformity is also lot width.
Yes.
Properties in all sides are fully developed.
Yes.
No land can be purchased.
None.
All right. Let's go through the variances that you and I both mentioned. The variances that we need tonight, just for clarification, are C variances. There are no D variances associated with this application, correct?
No D variance whatsoever.
All right. So we need front yard setback to the decks only, correct?
Yes.
The building itself complies.
Yes.
All right. And Mr. McVeigh mentioned it in his report, but we do not need a rear yard setback for the HVAC units, is that correct?
To be clear, there are the condensers. The condensers do not need a rear yard setback. I discussed this with Mr. McVeigh, and I'll let him comment on that, but we believe that it is not required, and it's not a variance that's required.
Okay. The other variance that we're here tonight seeking, again, it's a C variance, is a height variance, and it's a height variance for the proposed cupola and also a height variance for the peak of the roof. Is that correct?
Yes, and to be clear, the cupola is the same size that it's allowed to be. It's actually undersized. It's allowed to be 3% of the roof and 4 feet tall. It is 3%, it's less than 3% of the roof, and it's 4 feet tall. It's just because of the height variance that Jessica believes that we need to kick that in for the cupola as well.
So, can you explain the issue for the board in terms of why we were designing this building that the height came into play?
Sure.
And this exhibit is basically based on the height.
This exhibit is also on the board here that you have in front
of us? Yes.
Do you need to mark it?
Mm-hmm. What are we calling this?
This is the height exhibit, and then tax map with heights permitted.
All right, so A1 and A2?
Yes, please.
Okay. A1, just for the record, is a neighborhood.
It's a neighborhood map of all the different lots.
Okay. A1 map. Neighborhood. A2.
It's a height exhibit.
Is how the height exhibit? It's the height of the building exhibit.
Okay.
So what we have, and I have it blown up here so I can kind of explain it to you a little bit. We've had other applications before this board where you're allowed to artificially fill the lot to reduce
the maximum height of the building. I'm keenly aware that some officials on this board do not like that, so we did not fill this lot. But we can fill the lot 30 inches and thus raise the zoning flood elevation 30 inches and get more height in the building. We did not do that. We filled this lot so that it is at the base flood elevation, which is 10 here. So that's what you're seeing here. This first diagram that's on that elevation sheet, it is showing what we are proposing. We're filling the lot about a foot because we're trying to get up to base flood so we can use our actual height that we're allowed, as opposed to being penalized for having a grade that's too close to base flood. The next, the middle version, shows if we filled this 30 inches, we'd only have a variance of approximately 1 foot 5 inches. Right now we're going for variance for 2 foot 11 inches. And then here's the kicker, and this is what's tied to the colored chart that you have. If your lot is less than 45 feet in width, now mind you, our lot in the frontage is 31 feet, but our rear yard is over 68 feet. We average out to like 48 feet of width because of this diamond shape. But if we average out to less than 45, we'd actually be 2 feet under what is permitted here. So it could be argued that this building is actually 2 feet shorter than it should be because of all the lots. And so I'll get to the color chart. The color chart basically is showing our block, our lot is blue lot, blue diamond, if you will. Every single lot that's yellow on this chart can be a building that has a garage underneath it and 2.4 to 2.6 stories above it. Every single one that's red already has it. So on our block already, every single one could potentially be this, with the exception being the red lot, that's red lot 8, which is the large yellow houses right there on the corner of Gardens and Beach Road, and the Webb residence, which is in the middle of Nassau Road, which is the 80 by 80-ish lot. Our lot is the only other one that couldn't take advantage of this, but you can clearly see it's totally surrounded by lots that can definitely take advantage of this, and lots on the opposite side that are already doing this. So I think there might be some apprehension to the board, like, oh my gosh, if we approve this, it's going to be this gigantic sky needle that's going to be out here. I don't see that. It's already here. In fact, the lot directly across the street, the 75 by 80, technically isn't an extra half story, but it's already 3 full stories above this currently there. So you can see the amount of red of already existing lots that are across the street from this, and on the actual subject block, how many houses have that potential to have that height and or already existing that way.
So the effect of your exhibits and your testimony here tonight is that these other lots all surrounding us can all take advantage of this provision in the ordinance, which allows them to be much higher than what we're allowed to be because we are not under 45 feet in width. Is that correct?
Correct. It could also be determined, if you wanted to, you could say that the frontages both on Nassau and Gardens Road would equal 71.2 feet, and the rear yard would be zero because it's the point of the diamond, which would mean you should be able to take advantage of the roof. We didn't debate that with the zoning officer, but again, this is how it's typically done.
So the effect of your testimony is that we're not trying to say, hey, we should be availed of this. We know we're not, and that's our lot doesn't meet this. But the effect of your testimony is that these other lots are all going to be much higher than what we're permitted to do. So this isn't an aberration where we're going to be higher than everybody else.
Well, what we thought was it was the most respectful for the board. The board doesn't like it when we fill the lots. But we also want to reassure the board that we're still going to be 2 feet under what pretty much everybody around us will eventually become. And please keep in mind that FEMA apparently changed their requirements again. It looks like it's going to be +4. And judging the fact that Longport, Margate, and Ventnor all do +4, I don't know. But I assume the city may be getting on board with +4, which means we would only be 1 foot 11 inch on this one, 5 inches on this one, and we'd be 3 feet lower on the other one. So, again, we're trying to create a building that's going to be harmonious with the neighborhood. The other thing to take into note is what Avery said earlier. Well, this is half the size of a lot that it could be. That actually would allow us to do a full third floor up here. We designed the upstairs to be dormer-like and to be nestled in the roof, so it appears as a half story.
Explain that, because I think that bears repeating. Explain that testimony to the board again about what we're allowed to do based on the size of the lot.
So when you do a half story in most neighborhoods, you have to apply with a bunch of different metrics with where walls have to be and how much you can be of a floor below. In this case, because we're less than 2,500 square feet,
we can be a full story up here, meaning we can have the roof be really, really flat. We can do all this stuff. We didn't want to do that. We designed this so that it was, again, harmonious with other half-story structures in the area. This upper section here shows basically a planimetric version of what part of the building is over the height. So the roof plan for what we're proposing, there's approximately 49.5% of the roof is over the height that we're asking. If we were measuring and filling the lot more, we'd only be 30%. And obviously with this version, we're 2 feet under what we could be, so none of it is asking for the variance.
The variances that we talked about, the height variance and the front yard setback from the deck, those are the only variances. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. We are eliminating 9. I actually counted 10. It's 10 existing non-conforming conditions that exist with this property. Is that correct?
Yes.
Including, most importantly, that is currently existing duplex.
Yes.
All right. These non-conformities are listed on Mr. Page's report. Some other highlights from that. Impervious coverage has gone from 100%, 45.6.
Yes.
All right. The parking situation at the site. What's the parking situation at the site?
There's zero, and actually because of its corner lot, they actually have the yellow no park triangles. The good news with these two curb cuts is we're really not eliminating any on-street parking because of where our driveways are located on the lot. So we're gaining 5 off-street parking spaces.
So we're going from 0 parking spaces to 5 parking spaces.
Yes.
All right. And that in and of itself satisfies the purposes of it, does it not?
Yes.
All right. Despite the fact you're seeking a height variance, despite the fact that this is, you know, an undersized lot, it's what I would consider, I hope you would consider it a modest single family dwelling.
It is. Again, we're only 4 bedrooms here, so we're actually 1 less bedroom than what was currently existing. We're a half a bath extra, but you know, they've got 4 kids and it's a growing family, so they're going to need that.
The total square footage is under 2,000 square feet?
Yes.
All right. And building coverage is actually going down?
Yes.
All right. And you mentioned the bedroom count is actually going down as
yes.
well. In your professional opinion, can the variance be granted under the C1 or hardship standard?
Absolutely. The lot is incredibly unique. It's not too many diamond-shaped lots in Ocean City.
We have the peculiar shaped lot, which is less than half of what the permitted lot area.
Yes.
And then you have this condition with regard to the width of the lot that doesn't allow you to go as high as all the other houses around you.
Yes.
That would qualify as a hardship as well, correct?
Yes.
And this certainly created design challenges in terms of designing this building in a manner that's conforming and regardless of conformity, that's suitable, correct?
Correct, yes.
In your professional opinion, can the bulk variance be granted under the C2 or flexible standard?
Absolutely.
Right, let's go through a couple of the purposes that are there. Obviously, securing the property from flood, making it safer, is on grade right now, correct?
Basically, yes, and it's a base flood tank, yes.
It's what's there now, if you want to look at page, I think it's page 2 of Mr. Page's report. You designed something a little bit more aesthetically pleasing, correct?
I would hope so, yes.
We have more light and air and open space as a result of
absolutely, the footprint again is small.
Okay. We've increased parking from 0 to 5.
Yes, substantially right. Increased the parking.
And most importantly, you're reducing 9 existing non-conforming conditions. I think there's 10. And you're making them conforming, the most important being of a duplex use on this property. So the applicants could conceivably take that duplex, raise it to BFE plus 3, renovate it, have a nice duplex in the condo and so on, correct?
They could.
All right. The other non-conformities that are being eliminated, we discussed building coverage.
Yes.
Impervious coverage is being reduced. I rarely see it in that significant. Parking and then setbacks being reduced, correct?
Yes.
Can you think of a substantial detriment to the public good?
No, again, that I think is what's helpful about this kind of color-coded chart. Again, the neighborhood already has a lot of what we're proposing. In fact, it has it in areas that aren't even supposed to have it, that are significantly larger, or we're significantly smaller. So I don't see any detriment whatsoever.
And in light of what you testified to with regard to lot width and the other buildings having enjoying this ability to go much higher, will the application present a substantial impairment to the intent and purpose of the zoning ordinance?
No, I do not see how it would.
And in the zone plan, considering what your exhibit essentially shows that the zone plan is all going to be buildings that are going to be, when they're built new, that can be higher than you have here.
Yes, and particularly in this block.
As a matter of right.
As a matter of right.
So it's your testimony that the negative criteria has been satisfied to the board of grant the application?
Yes.
Those are all the questions I have, Mr. Beckel, for the moment.
Thank you. Mr. Maffei, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I report the date of 2/3/25. The date of approval to generate the existing structure and so the existing structure. I did have part of the setback granted for the second vertical decks, that's the building height. I did have an HVAC equipment. Can you explain again why you thought there were AC units, not
HVAC? Yeah, air conditioners are permitted in rear yard setbacks. Throughout this town. I'm sure Brian and Mike can even attest to that, but yes, it's in the rear yard. They can basically be anywhere we want.
I'm not sure they're listed as an exclusion to the rear yard setback. Therefore, the zoning office has just let them go.
Okay.
That's
no, it's in section 300 in the rear yard.
Air conditioners, and then for a side yard, it simply says HVAC units.
Side yard encroachments would be 20% of the permitted side of a ground, a side or in a rear, so you'd be 20% encroachment.
Historically, that they can be back there, and if the ordinance is vague, that's hard to imagine.
Not here.
Yeah, not here.
Next one I have is cupola height as well as the height, and as indicated, there are several non-conforming conditions, all of which are being eliminated. Obviously, 2,000 structure, front yard setback to the porch. Side yard setback, inlet side, middle side yard setback, rear setback, impervious coverage, number of parking spaces, and parking garage. Three trees are required, plans indicated by the contribution of the planting trees. It's anticipated that dated work will start this fall. Any work to be done within a roadway, including curb, sidewalk, ramps, aprons, utilities, etc., shall be done prior to dated work. And of course, if not, please contact the engineering office to coordinate that. Road retaining wall closes to National Road to provide the top wall elevations. The 8-foot-wide private driveway on the side up, what exactly is that?
It's his way of getting around a driveway variance because you need a 1-foot parking buffer around a parking spot to be qualified for a driveway.
So he's talking about the easement. Is it in favor of this property?
So the easement, the other unit owner here tonight, I spoke with him beforehand. That easement's going to be extinguished.
Okay. Would that answer that?
Yes.
Of course, any other plan revisions, guarantees for all the whole improvements, and first copies of the offset easement.
Thank you, Mr. Maffei. I'm going to start. Questions? You want the height variance because you want to park under the house.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to show me an exhibit where you fill the lot and then take your zoning flood elevation from your filled lot.
That's what this
but
is.
That, yeah.
Yes, sir.
I understand what it is.
Yes, sir.
You would not be able to park under that structure.
No, we can fill around it and park in. No, that's no problem. And we can, yeah. We've done that before in multiple properties.
I'm going to stop there.
Every single
feature
was built that way.
Two questions. So you said the square footage is under 2,000 square foot.
Yes, sir.
What
yes,
was
sir.
The prior?
The prior square footage of the old property was?
Is it still there?
It is 1,482 and we're 1,912.
Between two floors?
Yes, sir.
Two units?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then on the bottom where it says foyer, what's going to be going there?
That's literally the fourth floor. It's a fairly small footprint there. It's the entrance. We don't have any exterior stairs. So that's the main foyer space. It's basically enough space to get up the stair and into the elevator.
Mr. Price?
Forgive me if I missed it, but are there any dimensions on the decks?
As far as the deck sizes?
Yes.
So the deck sizes on the living room second floor plan, that deck is approximately 10 feet deep to the deepest section, and to the narrowest section is 22 feet wide, so 10 by 22. And then off of the third floor, that deck is approximately 8'5" deep by 26 feet wide.
Well, now that this the space that you need, or I guess in this case, you need to lose to get the height that you require, it's not measured by lot area, it's by lot width.
It's measured by lot width, yes. As I am measured by
lot width. So I'm just kind of looking at some of these, your chart here, some of these yellow and some of these orange.
Yes.
If you were to take the lot area of all the ones that were allowed to be taller, the lot area of this property would be comparable and or less to all of those which would be conforming.
Yes, the lot area is definitely less. That's why we could do three total stories, but we chose not to.
I think Ryan's question is, the ones that can do it, their lot area is less than ours?
Larger,
yeah, we're larger. They're larger than us.
They're larger than you.
Correct.
Yeah, right, exactly. But they can do it because they have less frontage.
They have less frontage,
they have,
exactly. Less width, not frontage.
Lot width average is less
yes.
than 45.
Correct. Yes.
That's all I have.
Mr. Gallagher?
The front decks, do you see them interfering at all with any sight lines with anybody in the neighborhood?
No, we actually were looking at that with a neighbor that's right here, lot 7. The neighbor of lot 7 has some upper decks, but this deck is actually higher than their deck because their deck's off the first floor. So that was one of the reasons why we didn't put anything out on that front section of it, because we only wanted to have the decks where we needed to have them. We kind of only put them where we needed to have them. So one's off the living room and one's off the master suite at the top.
Is that why they're cantilevered?
Yes,
no columns?
No columns. We didn't want to obstruct any view. We were concerned that that would be another issue, that people would not like to have any obstructed view.
That's all. Thank you.
Mr. Geary?
If you got rid of the cupola, what's that do?
Gets rid of the cupola variance. We didn't think it was that big of a deal, but if you absolutely wanted to lose it, we could certainly lose that from a height perspective. It doesn't change anything. We thought it was a nice aesthetic touch, but it could have been.
How often are you here for height variances?
Very little. Yeah. But we have gone to the planning board for height variances like this before.
Okay. Are you done, Mr. Geary?
Yeah, for now.
Mr. Waddell?
The cupola was bothering me, but that's solved itself.
What purpose, if it were gone, would it do?
It would eliminate the cupola variance. It would eliminate the height variance. It would just simply eliminate the cupola variance.
The cupola variance?
Yes, sir.
What function, though, does the cupola
do? That cupola actually is providing light into the master suite.
Okay.
It's a functional cupola, yes.
Mr. Lowe?
Fair to say the existing structure is in a sad state of repair?
It is, yes.
Probably not much could be done with it in terms of renovating it structurally.
I mean, you could do a ground-up renovation of it, I guess, but you know, we think this is a much better option.
I'm confused. Is this the elevator?
Ms. Schneider? Yeah.
No questions.
Becker? I don't really have anything else. At this point, I'll open to the public. Anybody here wish to speak on this application?
Come in.
Everybody get a turn.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand. Everybody. We'll start with you. Not everybody. When you come up. Okay. You swear firm to tell the truth.
Yes.
Okay. What I'm going to do next is the same thing I'll be doing with everybody. I'm going to ask your name and your address. You put your hand down. You ask your name and your address, okay? And give me your first name, spell your last name, and give us your address. We'll start here.
Randy Friedman.
What was the first name?
Randy.
Randy. R-A-N-D-I-Y-I. And spell the last name again, I'm sorry.
F-R-E-E-D-M-A-N.
And your address?
44 Gardens Road. Actually, Catty Corner, adjacent across from the property.
Okay, tell us what you want.
Okay, so we're not thrilled about the height. We're thrilled that the property will be improved. But we're not happy about the height because we believe it will restrict the view of the sea from our upper floors. And all this conversation about what can be done and in reference to the other properties that exist, many of those properties have already been improved or have been rebuilt new. So it isn't likely that that's going to happen in the near future. So for us, views from our house, and which ultimately would affect the value of our property. We're not happy about that at all. I'm not clear if there's still a conversation about extending the footprint of the property towards the back and building it up. I believe that that was described in what was sent to us, and that also concerned us because if the footprint of the property was expanded and then also built up, that would further impede any views from our property to the city. And I think that you guys need to be respectful of the fact that, you know, people have been living here for a long time, and what you build on that C block, you know, will affect anybody behind. And again, these properties have already been improved and rebuilt. I know yours, but your
ma'am. You address the chair, please.
I'm sorry.
These are the people who are going to vote, not that gentleman back there.
Yeah, no. I was just responding to Mr. Getty. Okay, anyway, that's really what I have to
say. Thank you.
I'm sorry, can I ask where you're going?
44 Gardens Road. We're right here.
This is our property.
Oh, that's the property.
Yes.
And this is.
Wait, we're still in open public, so.
See if I can answer your question.
What's the lot? What is her lot? Andrew, what's her lot?
Her lot is lot 14 in block 737. So she is right.
The red one?
She's right here, 14. That looks down kind of the road this way, but I don't believe that would impede the ocean view, but.
It does. I actually took pictures today, which I didn't
have. We can get another pissy match after if we want to.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Thank you, Ms. Friedman. Who's next?
I know there was somebody on this side.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll start. Raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm tell the truth?
Yes.
State your first name, spell your last name, give me your address, please.
Michael Haefelin, H-A-E, F as in Frank, L-E-I-N. Address.
I'm sorry.
H-A-E, F as in Frank, L-E-I-N.
Okay. And your address?
33 Gardens Road.
Okay.
Next door. On the east side, 29 Gardens.
Go ahead.
Okay, so my wife Lisa and I live in that location, and in short, we really like the design. We think it's well thought out. Could be so much worse as far as things go. And we think it's actually neighbor and neighborhood friendly. I think if the roof goes up, even if it's a third floor, not a fourth floor, of the roof, I think it's still blocking anybody's views down the street. I think the setbacks to the current structure, the improvement in the setbacks compared to the current structure actually should improve sight lines, I think, on certain angles. The improvement in the impervious surface is going to look great, and a huge upgrade for the neighborhood. And the 5 off-street parking spots, it is huge for our neighborhood. In the years I've been there, everybody's parked illegally in the house just because there's no parking spots. So I think all those things, my positives with it, and I don't know if this counts for anything, but the fact that they're going to live there year-round, raise a family there, and be part of that community in Ocean City, I think it's huge. I think it's rare, and it's special. So I think they ought to get bonus points for that. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Okay, same thing. Come forward and raise your hand. You swear affirm, tell the truth.
Yes.
Your name, spell your last.
Bill Leighton, 30 Gardens Road.
Spell your last.
L-E-I-G-H-T-O-N.
Okay, Mr. Leighton, go ahead. What number?
30.
30, go ahead.
Okay. What's your the estimate? They have done a good job as best they can with that irregular quadrilateral. sit right now on our street. They're convenient. They're terrible. This particular one that's under construction, regarding to a spec house, and it doesn't have full porches. Every house on that street, every house in that zone has full porches. Almost every house in all of the gardens has full porches. That spec house is going up on the new rentals. And so, when we look at this, yeah, it's high variance, and we don't like high variances. But everything else is eventually going to go up somewhat. Or already, a large number of those houses are already at approximately that high. And so it'll be a little bit taller. But I don't know how to make it work with the base flood elevations going up. There's not a lot of transport building there that I want to describe. I'm happy with the difference between the day and the work they put in, because they're going to live there and you see the difference. There are people over there who are going to have to design versus what happens with the building specs. So I'm here to support their application. Because it's not going to add much. And the other thing about Gardens Road is it runs east-west. Okay? True east, true west. The beach is in Ocean City, one northwest. Northeast, southwest. So we have an annual view of the beach. This house on the corner of Nassau, it doesn't block anybody's view down there. That's where the views are, is down the street to the beach. Because you're looking at it from an angle of not at a right angle, which is. And so I wanted to add my support to the various things.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is June.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I swear to tell the truth.
Okay. Spell your last name, June.
Okay. It is P as in Peter, A L O, M as in Mary, D as in Boy, A. Palumbo. Everybody always messes it up.
So. Okay, Ms. Palumbo. What's your address?
21 Nassau Road.
Okay. You have the podium.
I am next door to 29 Gardens Road, and my parents bought a house in 1967, so I've been there for 58 years, and the previous owner was there for 30 apart, and her adult children, and I and my family used to sit on our front porch trying to visualize what they were going to be able to do with that house because of the irregular lot. And, you know, I am just so happy to see what has been produced after many nights sitting there saying, what are they going to do there? So I am in support of this bill, also being the next door neighbor. The parking situation is awful in the summer.
In Ocean City?
You know, we find that they come and park on Nassau Road so they don't have to put money in the meter. So first thing in the morning, Nassau Road fills up. In addition to that, I recently inherited my house from my parents, and I have plants hot in my pocket, ready to go in the next 18 months to build. And we are taking the house down after 58 years. And building up. So we are going to be like the Ubs and like the we are very happy with what we see here. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else? Come on up.
Thank you.
There you go. Can you swear affirm to tell the truth?
Yes.
Your name?
Barbara Layton.
Spelled, okay.
L-E-I-G-H-T-O-N.
Yeah, I think I can copy my last one, okay. Barbara?
Barbara Layton, yeah.
Okay, go. I got the address, too. Okay.
I did meet our new neighbor, and he seems like a really good guy. My only comment is, because of where I live, I know that my husband is in favor, I'm in favor, but I am not looking forward to seeing that big wall. We have two properties on our street now that have big walls. But other than that, it'll be an improvement to the neighbor. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none, I'll close it. Avery's summary.
Avery.
I've got it.
When you decide as an attorney whether you're going to take an application and the client or the architect calls it, you know, you want to evaluate really well what you're going to bring before. I try and do that on every application, maybe overkill. But the first thing you look at is what's actually on the property. And you look at what's on this property, and you have a duplex. Not only is it a duplex, but it's completely in disrepair. It's not conforming for any metric. It's got zero parking. It's got 100% impervious coverage. It's not conforming for almost every bulk metric that we have in the ordinance. Every single one. What Giles have done with Andrew is they've eliminated 10 existing non-conforming conditions at this property, including most importantly use. They could have very easily renovated this building, gone up 3 feet or whatever it is, condoed it out, sold each one of those things, made a lot of money, and found another property that maybe was a little bit more conforming, trying to do what they wanted to do. But they eliminated that nonconformity. They take the impervious coverage from 100% down to 45%. They reduced the building coverage. They've taken the bedroom count down. They designed a modest single family home that's got less than 2,000 square feet. They created 5 parking spaces where there's zero. They've had to deal with the lot with regard to the lot size. I don't know whether they knew about the lot size when they bought it. They only knew that this lot width was going to create a problem in terms of designing the building they wanted. But it's an issue. It's an issue, as Andy testifies, it's an issue with regard to what other properties are going to be. It's an issue with what they can do there. And other than the height, you have these front yard setback areas, which are not for the building, but for depth. So they've been very, very responsible. They designed something that both neighbors on either side are happy with, which is very rare, especially in an area that's congested like this that has a regularly shaped lot very close to the beach. So I think the testimony and evidence that Andrew provided, that the neighbors provided, indicates that what they're requesting is reasonable, it's sensible, and it's going to meet spirit and intent of what's going to be in that surrounding neighborhood based upon the other lot sizes and the way the ordinance is written. So for all those reasons, I think the board has enough evidence to grant the application. Thank you.
Do you want me to ask a clarifying question now or after you go?
Well, here's what I'm going to suggest. Whoever's making the motion, if it has your question with the cupola, just make a motion without it.
Okay?
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, we've already heard from Andrew that the cupola, you've already heard from two board members that they're thinking it's gone already.
It's gone. The applicant says the conditions of approval.
Okay. So a revision, revised plan.
So it's gone altogether or just it's going to be under the height? It's gone altogether.
So
okay.
Altogether. I can see it in Dick's eyes. He didn't like it.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is the application of David and Michelle Bihop, property owners of 29 Gardens Road, Lot 20, Block 70.4, Lot 6. The applicants are seeking to demolish a pre-existing non-conforming duplex and replace it with a single. In addition to building a new single with only two variances now without the cupola. The applicant will be removing, applicant's attorney says 10, I'm not quite at 10, I'm 8 or 9, but pre-existing non-conformities.
Is it building coverage?
Yeah. Well, you're not eliminating it. But you've removed at least 8 pre-existing non-conformities and made one of the setbacks better, even though it wasn't a pre-existing non-conformity. In addition, the applicant provided testimony that the lot is unusually shaped and as a result has created hardship in constructing a fully conforming building. So the applicant's testimony is that they have complied with both, or proven both, the basic variance under the C1, the unusual shape of the lot, and under the C2, by removing somewhere between 8 and 10 pre-existing non-conformities, and in doing so, though, as a result of the unusual shape of the lot, they're requesting 2 variances now. The applicant is indicating that, in addition, removed what's been testified to as a rather unsightly building, and obviously building a new, more slightly better aesthetic building. For those reasons, the applicant indicated that the variance could be granted without substantial detriment to the plan. Matter of fact, one of the variances for the porches, and I think one of the people testified that every single one of the houses in the gardens, just about, other than some of the newer properties that are just going to be for developers and rentals, all have porches, and that porches are a thing that should be granted. So for those reasons, the applicant indicates that they can grant. Now, the basis standard conditions, and Mr. Maffei's contained, revised the plans, as I just indicated. A1 is the map neighborhood, A2 is the height of the building exhibit with the cupola. Okay, we need a motion.
Buck.
Waddell.
Mr. Waddell?
Yeah, it's kind of tough. I'm glad to see the cupola go. I think the house is too big for the lot, but that seems to be typical of Ocean City. It's an enormous improvement, so I'll vote yes.
Mr. Price?
Yeah, I think when you first hear a height variance, that obviously raises some eyebrows, but when you really break this one down, you know, both all the adjacent neighbors of similar size lots, they're allowed to go higher than what the applicant is requesting. If you look at the neighborhood, the majority of those homes also can all do the same. They can go higher without having to get a variance. And then the fact that the neighbors on both sides of the property are here in support, I vote yes.
Mr. Geary?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the house and the lot, and kudos to the architect. This is far better than what I thought could have ever been done there. So I think it's a huge improvement for the neighborhood, yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Echoing Mr. Price's comments, yes.
Mr. Buck?
Well, yeah, sure. Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Well, I'll second it.
Yeah.